No, they go together.
They go together.
Isn't that how the Holy Spirit works?
If God's touching
He puts
your
things
heart
together.
Too.
We used to watch a TV show that most of you younger people wouldn't know.
Something,
it was the, called the A-Team.
Something troubling
and they
you
say, I love it when a plan just comes together.
Let us pray for you.
So we'll see how together this is anyway.
We'll go home.
But the main scripture I'm going to use tonight is from 1 John. And that, isn't that the love? That's the love
Jesus.
Book.
For those of you who
John, I did some study on John, and you know,
we'll be meeting at 10
he was kind
morning.
Of a gruff man
tomorrow,
when he first got saved.
June's gonna
he was one of the sons of Zebedee.
Jesus as her husband.
You know, they wanted to sit beside
in
Jesus.
The
they were, you know.
Going to share about
but by the time he spent
intimacy with the Lord.
Years, those three
so
years with
here.
Jesus, and he was the one who
he's
leaned on
here.
His
he
breast. His heart
you.
Was softened. So
he's
the one that wrote all the love
else,
things. And in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us.
So, Father, we just thank that, you,
that's
Lord,
the truth. We don't have any love in our
grace.
Hearts all by ourselves. I know I don't.
So
maybe you do, but
in, hearts,
in my own
God,
self, there's none.
The
I'm
Jesus,
thankful to Jesus.
Have your way, Lord.
You know, because the gospel, it's a love story. And when you think about a conference like Return to Your First Love, you might think of that, oh, my goodness, they're going to tell me that I got to get my act together. I've got to do this and do that. And you know, there might be a time when God works on those things, but what he wants is for you to know how much he loves you. It's real. He loves you. You don't love you sometimes. I don't love me sometimes, but he loves you. He loves you. I don't know if you saw the movie Heaven is for Real. And that little boy, if you read his book and you hear him give interviews, he says, people just don't understand how much he loves us. I mean, he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. And he's our bridegroom. We just had a wedding last week. And when you see the bride and the groom, they are delighted in each other's presence. That bride was jumping up and down for joy seeing her bridegroom. She was one of the most excited brides I ever saw. And her groom was pretty happy, too. You know? And he wants to have a relationship with us that is so intimate that we are forever changed, that we're never, never the same. And when we know he loves us and we can rest in that love and be secure in his love for us, it's not a problem doing the right thing. It flows out of us. It flows out of that relationship. You don't have to worry, I can't do this, or no, I can't do that. You want to do, you want to do the right things. And you're not here by accident tonight. I know that. We all have an appointment with Jesus. And I've been here since, I think, 2:30 this afternoon. Not because I had to be. I just said, I'm just going over to the church. And by the time Kim came, I was like, whoo. A little woozy, so. When we think about our relationship with Jesus, we can think about it, compare it to a natural falling in love, you know? When you first meet somebody, when I first met my husband, ooh, there's like butterflies in your stomach. You know, there's like, ooh, I like him, you know? And then you become friends, hopefully. There's a time of bonding, and you start to trust each other, and you bear your soul to one another, and you build a relationship. You build it. It takes time. And in a natural thing, when you get to know each other, then maybe there's a proposal. There's a wedding. There's a honeymoon, and there's day-to-day life, okay? And you know, the honeymoon is important, but really Christianity is walked out every single day in your own home. If it isn't walked out in your own home, I wonder what is really inside your heart, okay? It has to be walked out with your children. Many times I have failed my daughter over the years and have said, will you forgive me, Rachel, another time? And she's such a good daughter. Of course, Mom. And that's it's worked out there. And we have our every home, you know, we all have our times when we fail, but we love each other and we get back up. And you know, when you love somebody, you drop everything if they come by. Okay? Don't you drop everything when you're in love? When I was engaged to my husband, I was in an apartment. There were a few girls there, and I saw him pull in the driveway. I immediately stopped that conversation and I walked over to the door. She said, every time he comes, you just run for him. And I said, well, I'm in love with him. she said, well, I want to talk to you. And I'm like, we live together. I can talk to you later. So that was the head over heels phase, you know, was, you know. And it can happen to us when we get saved. You can have a head over heels falling in love with Jesus. You know, not everybody does, and that's okay. Some grow up in a Christian home, and they come to an awareness of Jesus, and they grow in a relationship with him, and it's always good. I would envy that. I could say, my daughter grew up in a Christian home. She didn't stray the way that I did. Okay, I wish I hadn't strayed the way I did, but I have a testimony of his goodness to me and of falling head over heels in love with Jesus. Head over heels. And you know, we're going to talk some more about that a little later, but I'll just share a little bit of my testimony. I had a broken heart. That's how I came to Jesus. I was 23 years old. I had been in a relationship with a man I thought was going to marry me. Probably this was like the third or fourth relationship that I thought was going to end in marriage, but it only ended in a broken heart. And this was the devastating one. This was really devastating. And here I was, 23 years old. I couldn't sleep. And I remembered this Catholic church that my friend and I had gone to, like, on Easter. So I went to Boston Common. That's where I was living. I sat on a bench outside this Catholic church in Boston. And when they opened, there were, the street people on the benches with me. And I went in because I was seeking him. I was seeking something. My heart was broken. And I knew about Jesus. I was brought up in a pretty decent home. My mom read the Bible to me all my life. But I had strayed. I had walked away. And I cried out to him, and the priest looked at me. I was dressed for work. And I was sitting on the benches with the alcoholics. And an alcoholic is what I would have become had I not stopped. Had he not stopped me there, that's what I would have been. And my friend of mine got saved. She said, I became a Christian. And I'm like, well, what were you before? We went to Mass together. Like, what were you before? You know? She said, no, I got born again. And that born again, we're like, bing. And so there was a coffee house in Framingham and at the time. And she said, they play really cool music on Thursday nights. Why don't you come? And I already knew I was going to give my heart to the Lord because he'd been working on me for a while. And so I went there that night, and whew, on the way home, I just started singing Amazing Grace. I mean, I knew songs. I had known the Lord as a little girl, but he came so alive, and whew, it was just an explosion. And when I went back to the coffee house the next week, the man who prayed with me to receive the Lord was amazed because he said, well, when I prayed with you, I didn't think anything really happened. And I said, oh, it happened. It did happen. It did happen. And so I really came alive. And of course, the first thing I wanted, because I messed up all my other relationships, was I wanted to get married. And I know a lot of you out here, if you're not married, some of you are waiting for God to bring the right person. And I'll tell you, he's worth waiting for. Don't settle for second best. Wait. Wait. And I was crying out to him one day, and I know exactly where I was. Sometimes he talks to me in the car. I don't know if he talks to you in the car, but I was going down Sturrow Drive in Boston, and I said, well, Lord, I want my husband. And he said, will you wait 4 years? Will you still walk with me if it takes 4 years for him to come? I said, well, what's my choice? What options do I have? I mean, I either go back to broken hearts continuously, or I wait for you to bring the right guy. So it was a no-brainer. And so I met him 4 years later, almost to the day. Okay? And it was a struggle for me not to meet him, but because during those 4 years, God did some healing in my heart. He healed the brokenness. We developed a relationship, and I said, I'm in love with you, Jesus. How can I be in love with him at the same time? That's where I got, okay? He did so much healing in my heart. He's done more over the years, too. And I was afraid. My family said, well, his name is Mac, and they said, in that era, McDonald's ad was, have a Mac attack, which is like a Big Mac. So my family thought I had had a Mac attack. And some of them knew I had gone off the wall, you know, with Jesus. But the coolest thing is that my dad got saved in his 50s. Got saved, radically saved, before me, about 6 months before me. And I saw such a change in him because he was, well, he's supporting 10 children, working all the time, just so much that he had to give of himself. And my brother had a yellow Corvette, and my dad is sitting in my brother's yellow Corvette wanting to drive it. If you knew my dad, that's not, like, that wouldn't happen. He was an accountant, a serious guy, and he's in there with a cowboy hat on, and he becomes this huggy guy. And I'm like, what happened to my dad? And my brother had gotten saved, too. So I kind of knew what happened to my dad, but I was like, this is spreading in my family. And right the summer before I got saved, I quit my job. It was all part of this whole thing. And I went down the Cape to be a cocktail waitress, which I lasted about 2 weeks on that. I did. But during that summer, I was praying, and I was talking to God. And on the way down to the Cape, another conversation in the car before I was saved. I'm on 495 in Littleton. I know exactly where I was. And the Holy Spirit said, what about Jesus? He died for you. What are you going to do about Jesus? And it just like... And that summer, that cottage was full of drugs and all kinds of not good stuff. I ended up coming home on the weekends when most of the people would come to the cottage. I left. But I said to the Lord, if you get me through this summer, I'm yours. And he just radically changed my life. He's been faithful all these years. He always will be. It doesn't mean that I never had a problem in the last, I won't tell you how many years. There have been some very difficult situations I've walked through as an individual and in family and relationships. But I can stand here and tell you younger women, that there's no better place to be. Like you said, there's no place I'd rather be than right with Jesus. You can go through difficult times, and we will all have them. But I can tell you, I have found him faithful. I have found him faithful. And you have your own story. I would love to hear them all, but obviously we can't do that tonight. But how can we lose our first love? How do we lose it? And you know, when you get married, the honeymoon is a passionate time, but you can't live there forever. You can't live there 24/7. Even in the Song of Solomon, which we've been studying for the last few months as a women's group, the bride, she eventually wants to go out and do things with her husband. You know, it's not just all about their relationship. It's like, okay, let's go check the vineyards today. Let's see, what are you doing over there? How's this stuff going? And in that, but I can tell you that the relationship is deeper. And when I stood that day and married my husband, I loved him. But after, I think it's going to 37 years, I love him very differently than I did then. Much deeper, much understanding. We've been through a lot. God put us together. And if you're waiting for Mr. Wright, he has him for you. Okay, I'll just tell you, he has him. He's worth waiting for. We can lose our first love, the cares of the world. Things happen to us. You know, I think about the parable in Matthew 13 about the sower and the seed. The seed gets planted in you, but you get distracted. And you're like, well, I'll read my Bible today. I don't really want to do it tomorrow. And if you do that, you can just get weighed down. Your problems aren't resolved. If you're in the right relationship with the Lord, you can come home and you just say, oh, Father, I had such a hard day at work today. And you can spend time with him and get refreshed. And as a single Christian, I would do that. I would walk away from my friends to just because I needed 10 or 15 minutes with Jesus. I did that as a young Christian, and I still do it now. I mean, you don't see me walk away from you, but I know I actually would leave. If we were out somewhere, I'd just say, I need to go, and I'd excuse myself, you know? And when cares weigh you down, it's just a sign that maybe you have trouble leaving them in the Lord's hands, and he's capable. And that's the thing that you learn as you walk with him. You learn that you can trust him. You can trust him with your stuff. You can trust him with your worries. He spoke to me another day and said, Kathy, again, if you knew how much I loved you, you would never worry about another thing ever again. And have I never worried about another thing ever again? No. but I'm getting better. Okay, I'm getting better. My husband's in India now, and I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to be in this little metal thing way up in the sky. And I have no control over that. I can't get him safely to India, but you can. And when Rachel went away to Seattle and started to go to school there, and I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I can't protect her anymore. I can't protect her. And the Lord said to me, oh, so it's been you watching her all these years? I said, oh, okay. So he took care of it. He took care of her, and he brought her back. Hallelujah. And then we can lose our first love by painful and difficult experiences. And you know, they say it either makes you better or it makes you bitter. You know, I just want to encourage you ladies tonight. We're going to have prayer time tonight in a little while, that if there's a struggle and a battle, maybe it's caused you to think that he mustn't love me if he allowed this to happen in my life. Why hasn't he healed me? Why did my marriage break up? Why do I have this disease? He couldn't possibly love me, or I wouldn't be going through this. But I think of a scripture that says, "What in the world you will have tribulation, okay? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He's overcome. And I don't want to tell you all the difficulties that we had over the years. Almost lost Rachel when she was 2. Almost lost my son at birth. You know, just lost my brother to suicide a few years ago. Just some devastating things that had happened in our lives. But he's never been sweeter than when we've walked through some of those things together. You know, he wants you to check in with him. You know, and sometimes we just let our fire go out. You know, we let it go out. He wants to put more fire in us. You know, and if you were in a marriage, and you didn't ever kiss your spouse or you didn't ever spend any time with them, you're not going to feel a whole lot of affection or intimacy there. In the parable of the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. We studied this at our retreat, one of our retreats, and I never really understood. I mean, I understood the story. 5 were ready and 5 weren't. And I never understood quite why the 5 couldn't give some of their oil to the others. It's like, well, you can't give your relationship to somebody else. You can't give it. That's the oil that they had. And they were waiting for the bridegroom. And I did not know at the time, we did a whole teaching on it, that when a Jewish wedding takes place, well, they get engaged and the bridegroom goes and builds a house. And you don't know when the wedding's going to be. When that house is ready, he can ring a bell or send a word out and saying, the wedding is now. He's coming now. Only 5 of them are ready to go. Okay? So that's to us. We want to be ready to go. I want to be ready to go. And we could take him for granted, or we like him because of the things that he does for us. His benefits are good, you know, really. They're out of this world, but we can focus on those. In Song of Solomon, in chapter 5, it says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am lovesick. And they say to him, well, what's he more than anybody else? What is your beloved more than any other beloved that you charge us? Because they were the daughters of Jerusalem, which meant they were believers. They were believers, but they were excited about their relationship with the Lord. And if you're in that place, you want him to put fire in you. He'll put the fire back in you. He wants to. You know? If that's you tonight, let him rekindle it. And then our faith is a journey, too. We have to feed ourselves and grow. If I didn't feed my babies when I had them, they would have died, you know? If I don't feed my faith, it's not really going to go too far. I'm not going to go too far. Hebrews 2 says, we must give heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. Okay? And we can drift away. We can choose things over him. And I just wrote, idols are not just statues, you know? I had a Catholic grandmother whose house was full of the saints, and eventually put them away. But we have idols. It could be your TV. It could be your iPad. It could be your iPod. It could be movies, it could be video games, it could be newspapers, it could be books, whatever it is that keeps you from having that time with the Lord. And doesn't he tell us to seek those things which are above? That's what he tells us. And how do we get that first love back? You know, we can renew our commitment to the Lord. We can just say, Lord, I'm dry. I don't know where I am with you, but I want more. I want you, Lord. And if there's a place where we need to repent, we repent. I love what it says in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, that your sins are blotted away, so that times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And sometimes we need to renew our minds. We need to change our unhealthy thinking. You know, think, I'm no good. You heard things growing up. I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. You can't do that. You're this, you're that. You're fat. You're too skinny. And we start believing lies about ourselves. And we also hear from our enemy, who likes to tell us that God doesn't love us anymore. You know, you went over the brink there. He doesn't love you anymore. Well, that's a lie. Philippians 4 tells us what to think about. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, lovely, of good report, whatever virtue there is in any of those things. And again, as I started with 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. And what is his love? And this is the love that God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. That just means he takes care of the whole deal for us. We don't owe anything anymore. The deal is done. Signed. God sees us as his children. And that love also, if it's been perfected in us, what the scripture says, there is no fear in love. You probably all know that scripture. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. All right? And it's funny, the verse before it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because just as he is, so are we in this world. Doesn't it say in Hebrews 2, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to get help in time of need? And I wrote down a song that I didn't know. Well, I did know you were singing, but I wrote, light a fire within my heart. I had written that down, light a fire, Lord. And I just want to just encourage you to spend time with the Lord. We're going to have ministry. Teresa, why don't you come up? Come up. Teresa has something to share as well. And we just want you to, I want you to go home knowing more of his love in your own heart. I want you to know he cares deeply for you. You haven't done anything that can take his love away from you. You haven't lost it. He loves you. He's a bridegroom. Did you see the dancing? He's excited about you when he sees you come in the room. Isn't he excited? He's excited. He loves. He loves. He's a good God.
My husband and I had the awesome blessing and opportunity to perform 3 wedding ceremonies in a row. We're doing our 3rd one tomorrow. And it's true. Watching the groom wait for his bride to walk down the aisle, I always look at the groom's face because it says it all right there. It just, the look on their face, the smile, the anticipation, and the acceptance, the just how proud he is of his bride. There's nothing like it, and that's what Jesus wants us to see, him looking at us like that, right? Well, I wanted to share a little bit of my testimony, because, well, with this returning to your first love, my husband and I got saved getting divorced. So, yeah. And it's funny, because the Lord sent my dad back into my life. I hadn't seen him since I was 4 years old, and he sent him back into my life right before my husband and I went through this crisis in our marriage. and he invited me to a reunion, and he told me, you know, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, my dad called me. This is the missing piece of my heart, you know. This is what's been missing all these years. So I was so excited. So Lee and I went to this reunion, and while I was there, the Lord had a plan. One of my uncles, it's my dad's youngest brother, was crazy, bold, on fire for Jesus. And when he first met me, he introduced himself. He didn't say, "Hi, I'm your Uncle Dan." In front of all my relatives that I'm just meeting for the first time, he puts out his hand and he says, "Do you know Jesus?" I'm like, I guess, kinda. So, do you put him first in your life, before your husband, before your kids? I'm serious. This guy is bold. I'm just like, I'm stuttering. I'm flushed. I'm embarrassed. I just want to crawl in a hole. And I have to sit next to him at breakfast. And so he starts to share his testimony with me. And there's no religious, I mean, this guy's just captivating me now, because there's no religious to him. He's not what I've dealt with my whole life. He's just real and raw and full of joy. And so that was amazing. So, long story short, I get back home a month later, and my whole marriage falls apart. Crisis in my marriage, and it was my second marriage, and I just didn't know what to do. I was really at a place. God had me cornered. I'm like, it was total pain to leave him, total pain to stay with him. I had no love for him, but I just didn't know what to do. So I ran outside of my house one day, and I just cried out to God. Landed up against a tree, and I'm screaming at him, and I'm saying, "Marriage sucks! You created it, what were you thinking? It doesn't work! Men cannot be faithful. They cannot. So what were you thinking?" And I'm screaming at him. And I'm like, there's got to be more to life than this. And when I finally stopped screaming and I quieted down a little bit, all I could hear was, "Do you know Jesus? Do you put him first in your life? Is he your first love? Before your husband? Before your kids?" And I was like, "No." "Is that it, God? Is that the answer to what I'm going through? Is this the answer? Is this what it's all about?" I really, really looked at myself, and I'm like, "I don't know you. I know about you. My parents took me to church when I was young, went to Bible college, got kicked out. On the Bible quiz team, memorized James, didn't do anything for me. I don't know you, and I don't put you first." You're like, "Well, okay, Sunday we'll go to church, punch in our time clock, and that's it." So I want to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And it says, For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Just going to stop right there. To know the love of Christ. When I sat there that time and I surrendered to him and I said, no, I don't know you. I surrendered. I said, I don't know you and I don't put you first. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you, Jesus. And I do want to put you first. I want to make you my first. And I mean, supernaturally, when after I said that, a peace, his hope entered my heart right there. I knew something supernatural happened in my heart, and I went home, back home, into my house as a new creation. And I had new eyes for my husband that I knew were not mine. I knew that this is not me. And so I just fell head over heels in love with Jesus. I felt like I was having an affair on my husband. I did. Felt totally in love with him. And he just didn't leave me there. You know, he had my uncle, who asked me those two questions, call me. Imagine that. It had been a month, and he called me, and he said, why are you on my mind? I can't get you off my mind. I'm like, because I have a crisis in my marriage and I surrendered my heart to Jesus. And he's like, no wonder. So it's amazing because the Lord sent him and he discipled me over the phone. And he told me, you know, Peanut, he's called me Peanut. Peanut, you need to forgive all involved. I said, okay. I was at ground zero. I surrendered. I said, you know what, Lord? I don't want to try to... I've tried to protect myself. I've tried to do it my way. I'm not doing it my way anymore. I surrender to you. You're first. You sent this man into my life. I'm going to do what he says. No ifs, ands, or buts. No excuses. Yeah, but. No. I'm done with the yeah, buts. Yes, I'll forgive. Anything he said to do, I did. Thank God he was a really godly man. Because he said, I want you to fast and pray. You know, we're going to fast and pray. And he just walked me through getting to know Jesus. He said, please, don't preach to your husband. Don't preach to him. Just, you know, don't even tell him what happened. Just show him the love of Jesus. I was like, all right. He said, wait till he leaves before you praise God. Then you can. And as soon as my husband would leave, I would turn on the worship music and dance around the house. And, oh, we had our little secret romance. But I want to look at that verse 19, to know. I looked up the word know in the Greek. And it is that first, to know the love of Christ, is genosko, which means to be aware of, feel, be sure, understand. So he wants you to feel the love of Christ. He wants you to be aware of his love. He wants you to be sure of his love, which passes, and I looked up passes, is hupereko, which means superior, is better, is higher. So the love of Christ, which is superior, which is higher, it's better than knowledge. And knowledge is gnosis, which means science. Knowledge or science. It's better than science. It's better than any of our understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, he filled me so much that I was able to just trust him in this broken place, to be vulnerable. I mean, I was at the end, but he filled me so much when I said, I'm going to put you first, and I, in my heart, that he didn't leave me. I mean, it was a vulnerable place, but I knew he was protecting me. He had me. And that's really where we need to stay. And I just want to turn to 1 John. Okay. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to read 3, 4, and 5. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. See, I couldn't keep his commandments. I didn't know him. I didn't know him. My husband couldn't keep his commandments. He didn't know him. You know, and so I looked at my marriage through different eyes, and I thought, you know, God, you know, he hurt me, this, you know. And the Lord showed me, he's like, you're free from this marriage. You're free. By my word, you're free. You can walk and leave, and you can marry again, and you're free. But there's a higher road. And I saw myself, and when I saw his word as a wife, I saw, you know, I didn't do this. I wasn't this wife that you set, that you show here. I didn't respect him. I didn't honor him. So I said, well, God, I can't truly just throw this thing away, knowing that I haven't done this. So knowing Jesus and wanting to know him, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna obey your word. I'm gonna do this that you say as a wife. And then this marriage is in your hands. I trust you, Jesus. I'm gonna put you first. You're my first, you're my husband that will never leave me or forsake me. And I'm gonna trust you in this. And boy, when you do that, you get to know him. And I did. I got to know him as my husband. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we move forward, my husband, my Uncle Dan was discipling me, and he would always talk to my husband, and he always let him know that he would always make an effort to build relationship with him, and to, you know, and my husband really enjoyed him and really liked getting to know him. And then he knew when my husband was ripe, and so he stopped everything he was doing. He drove from Alabama to Massachusetts, and he stayed with us for 10 days, and my husband fell to his knees the first day he got there and surrendered his heart to Jesus. And so here we are walking together in this new saved marriage, and the fears start coming, you know, that fear of abandonment, you know, now that we're married and we're deciding to go for this and we're both saved. The enemy tried to steal that, and he was trying to show me, you know, make me feel fear that I was too vulnerable, that it was going to happen again. So I don't know, the Lord just I just kept giving it to God, but I fell asleep one day on the couch. I was having a nap, and the Lord supernaturally showed up in my dream, and what he did was he showed me my fear. He showed me it happening. He showed me my husband leaving in our motorhome with another woman. And I'm standing there, and it was so real. And I was standing there, and I was like, you know, the humility and the pain and that fragile, oh my gosh, the broken heart. And I turn around, and there's Jesus. And I see his robe, and I see his face, and just light. I don't see his face, it's just intense light. And I just walked over to him, and I said, "You said it wasn't going to happen. You know, like, this wasn't going to happen. This isn't supposed to happen." And he picked me up, and he hugged me, and his love went through me like electricity. It was real. It was like I was electrocuted. I could feel convulsions. I think I must have been convulsing. No, really, it was convulsions. And he spoke to me and he said, "You always have me." And I woke up from that, and I can't even go there. There is no fear of abandonment. There is nothing. I can't even work it up. I mean, that is what God wants us to stay in, that place, in that prayer, to know the love of Christ. I know it's basic, you know, it's just simple, but it's just to know the height and the depth and the width and the, you know, that is, we just need to keep going there. Lord, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to put you first. Return to your first love. Keep returning. Keep returning. Keep returning. When you feel that you're struggling, you're struggling with fear of something, and you know that it's creating a habit that you want to break, you can't. Know the love of God. Just keep going there. I have a word for us all too. So I just want us, we all have our own things, you know. Our own fears, disappointments, hurts. And the Lord gave me this today, and I just really believe that he wants me to read it to you. This is a note right for you. So I just want us to all close our eyes. And I want you to, whatever's like at the top of your head and you think of a fear or a worry, can be something really simple, or it could be something really tragic. I just want you to go there for a second. I just want you to just face that. Just be there as you listen to the Lord. As you turn your attention to me, feel the light of my presence shining upon you. Open your mind and heart to receive my heavenly smile of approval. Let my gold-tinged love wash over you and soak into the depths of your being. As you are increasingly filled with my being, you experience joyous union with me. I in you, and you in me. Your joy in me, and my joy in you, become intertwined and inseparable. I suffuse your soul with joy in my presence. At my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.